the title of our previous study in John 8:12-20 is, What Were Jesus' Claims About Himself and Who Were His Witnesses? We will continue our study of John chapter 8, verses 21 to 29 today. The title is, Who is Jesus? As you can see in the meditation questions, each title is put in the form of a question that is spoken to in that passage. As we study John 8, 21 to 90, please answer this question in the title, Who is Jesus? What does Jesus say about himself in this passage? Please follow our simple plan, read, write, share, and listen. Let us focus on Jesus in every aspect of our meditation on the Word. The entire Bible points to Jesus, and as I have shared previously, the purpose of the Bible is to come to Jesus and receive his life. As we study, think, and meditate on the passage, focus on Jesus, talk with him, listen to him, and let him guide us. And may the glory of Christ be revealed through the sharing of his Word. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today through your Son, Jesus. Guide us today and speak to us from your Word. Amen. So let's begin in John 8:21. Jesus said, Therefore again to them, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. The Jews therefore said, Will he kill himself? Because he says, Where I'm going, you can't come. Verse 23, he said to them, You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Where was Jesus from, and where was he going? Jesus had been sent from his Father in heaven and was going to return to him. Those listening did not understand Jesus' words. Jesus said, You are of this world, but I am not of this world. Jesus came from above, from another world. He came from his Father and would return to his Father. Jesus said, You cannot come where I am going because you are not of this world. Because you are of this world. Then Jesus warned them directly about their eternal destiny. You will die in your sins. Unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Jesus' message was harsh, but it was spoken in love. You will die unless you believe that I am who I say that I am. This is the reality that every human being on the face of the earth must understand. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. We will all die in our sins unless we receive the free gift of salvation by believing in Jesus. These words may sound very harsh to people. However, the purpose is not to condemn people, but to lead them to salvation through the grace of Christ. Jesus spoke these harsh words, You will die in your sins. However, he included an offer of grace when he said, Unless you believe. Jesus told them the truth. They would die in their sins. His goal was that they would admit their sinfulness and believe in him. He offers the free gift of eternal salvation to all who believe in him. I often quote 2 Corinthians 6:2, Now is the time of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus came to seek and to save sinful people. I believe he was offering grace and salvation to the teachers of the law and Pharisees who rejected him when he said, Unless you believe. After Jesus died and rose from the dead, some of them did believe. May our hearts be on fire to share the good news with lost people. May our faith be alive and burning hot as we believe that God loves them and is working in their hearts to draw them to himself. The conversation continues in verse 25. They said therefore to him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "Just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you. However, he who sent me is true, and the things which I heard from him, these I say to the world." They asked Jesus, "Who are you?" Jesus told them that he is what he had been saying from the beginning. Jesus did not spend much time refuting their accusations. He always referred to his relationship with his Father. Jesus said again that he spoke the things he heard from his Father. Jesus kept coming back to this point again and again. The main question is whether Jesus was from the Father or not. If he was sent from his Father, then his words are true, and he is who he claimed to be. The Pharisees and teachers of the law were trying to prove Jesus was not who he claimed to be through human logic and human laws. However, they should have seriously considered whether or not Jesus was sent by his Father. Everything else depends on this. People need to decide whether or not Jesus was sent from the Father and whether or not he spoke the words he heard from the Father. Jesus stressed this point throughout the Gospel of John. People today should also consider these two questions. Was Jesus sent by the Father or not? Did Jesus speak the words from the Father or not? People can dance around philosophical questions, theological doubts, or problems in the church. However, these two questions supersede all of man's arguments. People need to answer the question the Pharisees asked Jesus in verse 25, "Who are you?" Our answer to this question will determine our understanding of truth and reality. Let me give you an illustration to bring this into focus. Suppose there is a country called Spakistan. My father is the king and ruler of the country. It is not a democracy. The king's word is the law. One day I go to the countryside and visit a small town. Men in the town did not like outsiders coming into their area. They begin to debate with me about the legality of me coming to their hometown. Finally, I say, "I am the son of the king. He is my father." Once they realize this, they immediately know that they are wrong and humbly apologize. Truth and the law is determined by the king, not by them. God the Father has all authority and power. He shares that authority with his Son, Jesus, because they are one. All arguments about the law and its interpretation are meaningless if people do not recognize and submit to the king's authority. The problem is that the teachers and Pharisees refuse to recognize the Father's rule and authority over them, even though they talked about the Bible a lot. If they had realized Jesus was indeed sent by his Father, they would have fallen on their knees and confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord. Verse 27, they didn't understand that he spoke to them about the Father. Jesus therefore said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing but of myself, but as the Father taught me, I say these things. He who sent me is with me. The Father hasn't left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." So why would they know that Jesus is who he claimed to be when they crucified Jesus? How would they know that everything he did through the Father's leading? The religious leaders and Pharisees did not understand what Jesus was saying about his Father. In verse 28, he says, Jesus therefore said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, you'll know that I am he, and I do nothing by myself. But as the Father taught me, I say these things." He was talking about the crucifixion. That's what it means to be lifted up. The Jewish leaders accused Jesus and sentenced him to death. They demanded that Pilate, the Roman governor, crucify Jesus. Many of the people who talked to Jesus in John chapter 8 were surely directly involved in crucifying him. And after Jesus' death and resurrection, many did believe in him. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church. Peter boldly addressed the crowd of people who had gathered, as described in Acts chapter 2, verses 21 through 41. "Fellow Israelites, listen to this," Peter said. "Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourself know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead." Peter concluded his discourse, beginning at verse 36, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Verse 37, "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' Peter said, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins.'" Verse 41, "Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day." So the question we ask concerning this passage, why would they know that Jesus was who he claimed to be when they crucified him? How would they know that he did everything through his Father's leading? There may be many answers to these questions. They saw Jesus hanging on the cross. Until then, they could not understand how Jesus could be the Messiah, the Son of God. However, when they stood before the cross and saw the love and mercy of God, inside they knew that Jesus was who he claimed to be. When they heard about Christ's resurrection, they could no longer deny him. It is clear that the Holy Spirit was working in people's hearts and speaking through Peter's words on the day of Pentecost. It says they were cut to the heart. They received revelation from the Spirit of God and understand that Jesus was who he claimed to be. And now they understood that he had been sent from God and did everything through his Father. Around 3,000 of them believed on that day they would not die in their sins and be eternally separated from God. They were forgiven through the blood of the cross and received the gift of eternal life. I will quote 2 Corinthians 6:2 again. "Now is the time of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. Christ was lifted up on the cross for us so that we would not die in our sins. Now is the time of God's favor. Now, today is the day of salvation. His salvation is available to all who come to him." Now let's look at verse 29. "He who sent me is with me," Jesus said. "The Father hasn't left me alone, for I always do what is pleasing to him." Jesus always did things that were pleasing to his Father. I think this should be a key question we answer ourselves. Is what I am doing pleasing to the Father? Sometimes we try to justify what we want to do and the decisions we want to make in many ways. Sometimes we even use the Bible to prove to ourselves that something is not wrong. Perhaps it is not wrong, but I think we should ask the question, is it pleasing to the Lord? As we conclude, what is the answer to the question, who is Jesus? I will list a few things that are written about Jesus in this passage. Jesus was not from this world. Jesus was sent by his Father. Jesus spoke only what he heard from his Father. Jesus did nothing by himself, but only what the Father told him to do. Jesus was not alone. The Father was with him. And Jesus lived to please the Father. Are we following Jesus' model? Jesus' ministry, his words, his actions were all founded on relationship with the Father. How about me? Is my life, ministry, words, and actions, are they founded on my relationship with him? Let's pray. Father, thank you that you sent Jesus into this world to die for our sins and to reveal your heart to us. May we follow Jesus' example by doing everything through our relationship with you. And may we please you in everything that we do. Amen.